I have an ambivalent relationship with Mother's Day and Father's Day, not because I don't love both of mine, not that I'm happy that I am one of them and all of that sort of thing. It's as it relates to the church, and I have a bit of a, I'm occasionally challenged by the sort of the secular calendar coming into the church and vice versa, because it doesn't always work as well as I'd like. And I grew up with someone who used Mother's Day to preach sermons about how bad fathers were and Father's Day to preach how bad mothers were. And so that's my problem, not yours. And so as I was thinking about this, as I was reflecting upon it, I came to a weird question. And I believe the Holy Spirit brought this question to me. And are there women in the Bible? And of course there are women in the Bible. We just read about one. We read about Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. So I did a little bit of looking, poking around, admittedly, sort of Wikipedia, that sort of thing. There are about 160 women who are named in the Bible. There are almost 250 men whose names begin with A in the Bible. So my question, well, intentionally provocative, is still worth asking and pondering, and with a subsequent question, why is this? Were there no women? Obviously, there are women throughout the Bible, but why do we know so little about them? Not even their names. There was even a woman who was an apostle, and I'll talk about her in a little bit. The answer to my second question, the why is this? Well, it's simple. It's a word you hear frequently these days, and I'm glad we're looking at it, and it's patriarchy. The Bible was written by men, inspired by God, to be sure, but not dictated to the men who wrote what they chose to write under the inspiration. The Bible has been mostly interpreted by men, and it's been used as an instrument of oppression to all kinds of groups, from slaves to people of color, but especially to women. I'm not going to ask you to remember the name of the woman who was an apostle. It was Junia, at the end of Romans. And when we think of patriarchy, think of this. For generations, it was taught that although Junia is a woman's name in all other ancient documents, in Romans it referred to a man. Okay, there is no explanation for this other than a desire to say that women cannot be equal to men in any meaningful way. And I am here today to say the fact that we don't encounter women to the same extent in the Bible is not God's issue. It's a human issue. For a woman to be noted by name in the Bible, she had to be raised from the dead. She had to be the father of Jesus. She had to be a prophetess. They barely managed to get them in. She had to be a judge. She had to be the queen of Persia. And yet we have hundreds and hundreds of names of people that show up once or twice in the Bible as men, often just as bit characters. What's going on? And I bring this up not specifically for this congregation's view of Scripture and things, although it could be part of it, and I don't want for a second to think for you. But the more I talk to women, the more I find them frustrated at their absence in the Bible and their absence in church history. And I understand that frustration, not from the inside, because I've always been part of the patriarchy, but I've always known. On this Mother's Day, I want to give significant praise and a shout out to my mother, who I remember quite clearly when I was fairly young, in my early teens, saying, look, you need to understand, you are a male person. You are a man. You're tallish. You look okay. Everything is stacked in your favor. Do not take advantage of that. It stuck with me forever. It has helped me see, and I'm delighted to see that we're starting to address this in other places. When we think of names, In the Fortune 500, I think I've mentioned this before, top 500 corporations, sort of in the world, there are more men named John as CEOs than there are women. Why? Is it because women are less capable? Absurd. Is it because men are afraid of women and their capabilities? Well, I suspect that's a good part of it. I can't speak for all men, of course, but I know men who are threatened by the competence of women in a way that they are never threatened by the competence of men, and I don't know why that is. I don't like it. I no longer go out of my way to irritate them by pointing out all the women who are more competent than they are, because that's just childish and doesn't help anything. And hopefully, I have put childish things away, or at least that one. But as I was thinking about this on Mother's Day, every single one of those more than 250 men whose names begin with A, the more than 3,000 male names in Scripture, according to one scholar, they all had a mother, every last one of them. And I'm not here to say that mothers are perfection, because there are no human beings who are perfection. But I am here to say that there are very few cultures where the initial education and training of children is not undertaken by a woman, mostly mothers, or if they are of a certain status, it's farmed out to wet nurses first and then to nurses of one kind or another. Governesses, which we read all about in the 1800s and even into the early 1900s. And so when we come to look at the difficulties that we're having at the moment, all I can say is that I wish a whole lot of men would have listened better to their mothers when they were five. I was speaking to a young woman once. She was one of my elves when I was Santa Claus. Hard to believe, but I was a professional Santa Claus for a few years. I was speaking to one of my elves, and we were just chatting. There was nobody up there. And I said, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we just put women in charge of everything for, I don't know, about 400 years? And she said, isn't that sexist? I said, well, what do you think we have now? And I'm here to tell you that we couldn't possibly do worse. Think of the last 400 years. Chaos, war, destruction, evil everywhere. Run by men. And I'm not here to run down men per se either, because what's the point of that? What I am here, if I'm here to do anything on this Mother's Day, is to say that the church has a space for women in a way that no other place has, even though it's not admitted. The congregation the denomination I grew up in started ordaining women within the lifetime of my children. My partner Hadley, at that time presenting entirely as a woman, now non-binary, was the first woman chair of the elders board in Canada's history. My bonus mom, who married my dad, my stepmom, was the first woman elder. All of these things happened. Why? Why? Because of men's refusal to look at the gifts of women. Because none of them looked at women and said, you have nothing to offer. Find me... Okay, maybe you can now, I don't know. Find me a group of men who are in leadership in a group, a committee of something where they happen to all be men, who are married, and show me one who doesn't discuss things as appropriate with their partner. Why? Well, mostly because men need wisdom and they know where to get it. And it's usually not in the circle of men around them, it's often at home. The church can do something about that. And we are. I am delighted to tell people I'm a Presbyterian minister, because we have women in all layers, levels of authority and responsibility, not because they're women, but because they're the best person for the job. And sometimes it's hard for other people to believe that, but it's true. And I look at some of these denominations that are so violently against women in leadership. And I won't name denominations because perhaps I misremembered it. But I suspect you are aware that there are some denominations who absolutely refuse. There are denominations where if a woman missionary comes back from the field and wants to talk to you, has to stand down there because you can't have a woman in a wooden box. The pulpit is somehow gender specific. And what I like to point out to these people, or what I like asking them, is I say, like, your church has grown over the years and all that. Give me the names of some of the people who broke ground in new places. And you hear woman after woman after woman after woman after woman. Single women missionaries built the church as we know it, the Protestant church, in Latin America, Africa, Western Canada. I could go on. So, why don't we know? Well, we could get into a whole bunch of sociological things, and someday if we have time, and not from here, we can have that conversation. It's an interesting one. I've enjoyed my historic, I'm historically oriented, interested, whatever language you want to use. And I see it over and over again, the bypassing of competent women for less competent men and what that does. But I don't see it here. I don't see it in this community of faith. I don't see it in the Presbyterian Church overall, and those are the two I'm willing to speak to. And so when I ask the question, are there women in the Bible, it's not so you can search them out, although I'd be happy to give you the link to that I found that has their names and where they are. It's kind of fun. It's more, let's not forget that the Bible, inspired by God, written primarily by men, has been interpreted by men in a constitutive way, that churches have been built on the basis of men's prejudices, fears, hopes, dreams, all of that. But it's been a one-sided thing. And so when you go back and look at church history, you're not seeing it all. And we're starting to capture some of it now, and we're starting to find some of the writings of some of these women. They're extraordinary. And when you read carefully Augustine's Confessions, you read about the impact of his mother. You read any of these people, the Wesley brothers, who made them who they were today? God, of course, and then their mother, over and over and over again. I suspect it's the same in the Bible. But for whatever reason, those people weren't mentioned. Those mothers weren't mentioned. Those women weren't mentioned. One of my biggest frustrations is that in the Gospels, we have the story of the crucifixion. We have people shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And we know there's also a group of women who are not following the crowd, who are not shouting that, but who are there watching, weeping, caring for our Savior. To whom was Jesus revealed first? A woman. Maybe we should take something from that. And on this Mother's Day, when we honor our mothers and those who had that mothering impact upon us, let's expand it into what can we do to ensure that all women have the same opportunities to have those kinds of impacts that they've had on us, realizing that we can't fix everything, such has not been given to us, and I am grateful for that. But what we can do is what we can do. And we can remember that there are all kinds of women in the Bible who accomplish great things that we don't know their names. And there are all kinds of women today who we don't hear about who are doing the same. Happy Mothering Day to all of you who provide that wondrous gift to someone. Amen.